Welcome to the Humanize podcast, all about personalizing your health. I am your host, Rebecca Kelly, and today we'll be discussing what are adaptogens with Dr. Michael Murray. Before I introduce Dr. Murray, I want to remind everyone to subscribe and get all of our variety of casts and audio, video, and transcription at humanizehealth.com. I'd also like to thank our lead sponsor, Village Green Apothecary, at myvillagegreen.com. A little bit about Dr. Murray. He is one of the world's leading authorities on natural medicine. He's dedicated his life to educating physicians, patients, and the general public on the tremendous healing power of nature. Dr. Murray has published over 300 books, written numerous articles for major publications, and has appeared on hundreds of radio and TV programs. Dr. Murray is a graduate, former faculty member, and serves on the board of the Regents of Wisteria University in Seattle, Washington. We're so happy to have you here.
It's my pleasure.
So, talking about what are adaptogens, what are some common examples?
Well, common examples include the ginsengs, Siberian and Chinese ginseng, rhodiola, ashwagandha, and maca.
And what health benefits do adaptogens produce?
Well, let's first of all define what is an adaptogen. Adaptogens have been used historically across the globe. Different adaptogens based upon what was growing there. But the idea is that these are plants that will be able to improve our ability to withstand stress and enhance our mental, physical, and sexual performance. So these are great energy boosters. They're great for enhancing all sorts of different biological processes. So I've given you some examples. What we know now about adaptogens is that they work very interestingly on stress mechanisms, and in particular in supporting our adrenal glands. And our adrenal glands are these two glands that sit on top of each kidney, and they're responsible for secreting a lot of hormones. Most people are familiar with adrenaline. That's one of its key hormones, and it plays a big role in the fight or flight response, the stress response. And in all of these plants that I just mentioned, the ginsengs, rhodiola, ashwagandha, and maca, they all seem to impart some health benefits to the adrenal glands.
Awesome. So which adaptogen should we choose to use, or should I use, or should we use in general?
Yeah, it really depends on a few different things. There's a lot of overlap, but if we try to dial in specific adaptogens based upon a person's age or sex or the degree of stress they're dealing with, we can do that. I'm really quite impressed with the research on ashwagandha. And in particular, there are two high-quality extracts. One is called Sensoril, and the other is called KSM-66. And either one of these is shown really good effects on helping us deal with stress and exert some additional benefits. I like ashwagandha for its effects on brain health in particular. It may have a role in kind of preventing some of the age-related decline in mental function and the low mood that we often see as people get older. So I really like ashwagandha for people that are dealing with a lot of stress, anxiety, maybe some sleep issues, and they're getting up there in age. I really, really like ashwagandha for the older population. And by older, I mean in my age, anything 60 plus.
So what are some other adaptogens and how would they affect our health and wellness?
Well, the ginsengs are probably the most well-known adaptogens, and there's a lot of good science on either Chinese or Siberian ginseng. Chinese or Panax ginseng, I think, is a bit stronger in its energy-enhancing abilities. So I like to use it when people are really debilitated. Maybe they're coming out of a long illness or they've really been dealing with stress over a long period of time, and it's just pretty much exhausted their adrenals and really kind of decimated their physiology. I think that's a great indication for Panax ginseng. It's very uplifting and has some good energy promoting activity. I think it's really good for athletes that, men in particular with a lot of yang energy, a lot of times they can take subtler plant adaptogens and really not feel any punch. We give those guys And some women that need that extra punch, we give them the Panax ginseng, and they really can feel the energy enhancement and the improved performance. Siberian ginseng is a little gentler than Panax ginseng. So I generally like it more for women than Panax ginseng. It too has some really good stress relieving and energy enhancing effects. And there's a couple other adaptogens that I'll get to as well to give you some subtle differentiations. Rhodiola or Arctic root has a lot of good data as kind of a mood elevating adaptogen. So it has the ability to help with anxiety, but it's really a mood elevator. So it would be my choice in someone who was really feeling blue and really needed a boost in their mood as well as their energy and dealing with stress. So those are some of the big ones. And I really want to spend a lot of time talking about maca, because I think maca is an adaptogen that we all can benefit from on a regular basis. And maca is kind of newer to the stage compared to these other plant medicines, but it's been a big part of medicine in Peru. That's where maca is grown. It's a member of the cabbage family or broccoli family, and it looks a lot like a turnip and comes in a lot of different colors, black, red, and yellow. And I like to think of maca as kind of a concentrated source of all those chemicals that we know are a benefit that are found in kale and cabbage and broccoli and Brussels sprouts. And maca has all those benefits in more. It helps the entire endocrine system, our hormonal system. It has been shown to basically improve body processes, and it does so primarily through its effects on the pituitary, the adrenals, the thyroids, the ovaries, the testes, the pineal gland. So some of the benefits that we see improved detoxification. We see that with all the cabbage family vegetables. We see higher energy levels. The historical aspects of maca are quite interesting. It has a lot of folklore attached to it. It was used in the native culture for thousands of years, and it has a storied history. So it has some incredible effects on boosting fertility and sexual function. It has some effects on improving sleep and mood as well. I really like maca for just about everybody. And I think it provides many of the benefits that we see from traditional adaptogens, ashwagandha, the ginsengs, and rhodiola. But you add to that all of these benefits that we know that these cabbage family vegetables have. And that includes not only detoxification and anti-cancer effects, but some really interesting effects on reproductive function. And maca has been shown to have some very interesting effects on women. Research on menopausal women using maca shows that maca can actually increase the woman's own production of estrogen. And so it can basically prolong their reproductive life and delay some of the symptoms and aspects of menopause. And then after menopause, we still see some benefit with maca. It can stimulate estrogen, not to the same level that you would see in a woman reproductive age, but we see an increase in estrogen to a level that can reduce some of the symptoms like hot flashes, insomnia, depression, irritability, nervousness, and diminished concentration. It also lowers cortisol level, and that's the stress hormone. That's one of the things that we see with all of these adaptogens, Rebecca. And I think that that's not only important in fighting stress. Cortisol is one of the few hormones that actually increases as we get older, and it has a ravaging effect on our brain, our muscle mass, our bone mass. So if we can keep cortisol levels lower as we get older, we can really impact preventing those very serious consequences of aging, osteoporosis, dementia, memory loss, loss of muscle mass, low immune function. depression, insomnia. These are all linked to excess cortisol. So if we can keep those cortisol levels by using an adaptogen, then all the adaptogens that have that effect. But I really like maca for most people.
Sounds like a super antigen.
You know, it's a true superfood, and it comes in a variety of different forms. You can get raw maca powder, and the dosage there is 3 to 6 grams per day. So it's not a huge dose, you know, compared to a lot of superfoods, but it is bitter. You can add it to smoothies to mask it a bit. But most of the time, I'm recommending using some sort of organic super strength maca extract. The product I have most familiarity with is the product from Natural Factors. It's called Organic Maca Rich, and it contains maca with a little bit of ginseng in there. And it's produced in a kind of a traditional way. Maca is a root vegetable, has a lot of starch. So what is done first is they gelatinize the root, which means they remove all of the starch. This alone concentrates the active compounds. And when you use a concentrated gelatinized maca, the dose is 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams per day. So it's easy to take it in a capsule or tablet.
Wow. I'm definitely going to be adding that to my diet for sure. Thanks, Dr. Murray. Those are really valuable insights. Dr. Murray can be found at www.drmurray.com. Let me remind you to subscribe and get access to all Humanized videos, podcasts, and transcriptions from all of our thought leaders on personalized health at humanizedhealth.com.